You just have to act. You just have to go do it. Like, don't fiddle around, just like execute. And if the whole thing's a wash, like, the sooner you can find it out, it's better than waiting a year to move. And then it's like, then it's no good. Pretty good assumption that in 20 so years, cleaning will be the same way. Like, there's obviously going to be an on-demand solution. Like, we're going on-demand solutions across every sector of our lives is going to happen eventually. So it's not that it's impossible or that it's not going to happen. It's just a matter of timing and who can capture most of the market as quickly.
If you have an idea and you believe in it and you're like, I want to get this going, the worst thing you can do is go out and see what the competition is.
Welcome back to the Middle Tech Podcast. You got Logan Jones here this morning. Got an early morning recording. We are here with the Clean Space team. So we've got Aram and Eric. We're excited to sit down with them. They are recent Five Across winners and talk about Clean Space. So before we get into this episode, let's just get a quick word from our sponsors.
Before highlighting our sponsors, we'd just like to state that the views and content shared on this platform do not necessarily reflect those of our show sponsors. Middle Tech is presented by KY Innovation, the Kentucky Cabinet for Economic Development's Office of Entrepreneurship. KY Innovation exists to support and develop Kentucky's startup ecosystem, and we are proud to be supported by an organization whose mission aligns so closely with ours. If you're a founder building in Kentucky, you need to check out the resources that KY Innovation has to offer. You can find more information by clicking the link in our show notes or going to kyinnovation.com.
Middle Tech is sponsored by Bolt Marketing. Take your website to the next level with a website that's built to work. At Bolt Marketing, they're revolutionizing websites for small businesses that are affordable, customizable, and hassle-free. Whether you have a construction company, a boutique clothing store, or you own a hot yoga studio, they have options for you. Click the link in our show notes to explore their marketing options that can transform your marketing and grow your business. And as a personal note, Bolt Marketing built our website, and they were awesome to work with throughout the entire process. We highly recommend working with.
Middle Tech is also supported by Huntsicker, an impact venture studio based in Lexington, Kentucky. Huntsicker is creating companies out of the ordinary by founding and funding the next generation of purpose-driven startups. They partner with founders to create indispensable solutions to the world's most fundamental problems. On a quarterly basis, they host an invite-only intimate gathering called Fireside Convos, where attendees representing a wide network of stakeholders in the regional entrepreneurial ecosystem discuss timely topics, including the role of AI for startups out of Kentucky and the challenges of identifying and attracting talent. To be considered as a guest, visit huntsicker.co/fireside to apply.
All right. Aram Street, Eric Griffin, welcome to the podcast. Thank you guys
for
taking some time on this Friday morning to get in here early and knock this one out.
You bet.
Excited to have you. As I mentioned at the top of the episode here, you guys are recent Five Across winners, which is, if you're in the Lexington startup ecosystem, that's always a badge of honor to wear around. But before we get into talking about Clean Space and everything going on with that business, let's start off by just talking about y'all's backgrounds. So Aram, I'll start off with you. When we connected on the phone to kind of talk about backgrounds, one of the things that piqued my interest was that you were a butler at a horse farm.
Yeah.
So let's start there. Tell us what does that entail? Are you like, did you have the tuxedo you were wearing and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So people ask me that I think more often than anything. So how are you dressed? So the environment was kind of semi-formal. So it was a dress shirt and slacks, but that was pretty much the extent of it. So it wasn't like a white tie situation, fairly relaxed. So I kind of got into that by accident shortly after coming to Lexington back in 2012 and started as basically a glorified housekeeper for a little while. And then they were like, hey, we want you to start running things. So we're going to send you to an academy up in Toronto to become certified, kind of like a professional situation. So I went up there. It was a 4-week type of professional education, I guess you could call it, and got trained and got a degree in that particular.
So you can really get into butler stuff. Like
yeah. If I were to jump back into it now, I'd want a little bit of a refresher, but there was like an entire, you know, this textbook manual thing was just huge, like 400 page type of deal
that
could take you through anything.
So. Very cool. And then you left in 2020.
Yep. So left that in April 2020, and I was trying to figure out what to do. I really did not want to stay in that industry anymore. So I was like, well, let's start a cleaning company because I have a lot of high-level experience there, and I felt like I could build a good branding story around, you know, my experience in butlering. So
And had you ever done anything entrepreneurial before that? Or what kind of made you say, okay, rather than going and finding another job in another industry, I'm going to give it a shot starting my own thing? Like, what led you to do that?
I was, for the previous, I don't know, 4 or 5 years leading up to that point, becoming increasingly interested in entrepreneurial activities. I was reading a lot in that. Robert Kiyosaki's book, The Cashflow Quadrant, was like the first sort of epiphany, I guess you could say, I had. I was like, oh, hey, there are other ways to make money than clocking in and out of a job. So I was just getting more and more in that mindset. And by the time I got to 2020, I was like, all right, let's go ahead and jump in this thing and get it done.
Got bit by the entrepreneurial bug. No going back once you start that. Yeah. And Eric, so you moved here during COVID from North Carolina. Let's just start
off
there. Always love hearing the reasons people come to Kentucky. How'd you end up in Kentucky and why Lexington specifically?
We moved here primarily because of my wife's parents are here. And being from North Carolina and living there for the majority of our marriage and everything, my whole family's over there and everything. So we stayed over there and we were living at the beach. And it was like, our house was on a month to month. So the guys wanted to sell it. Hey, you guys need to get out of here. So we're like, okay, where can we go? We have never, you know, lived in Kentucky. I've never lived in outside North Carolina. So it's like, why don't we go spend time with your parents and see what that's, about.
There you go. Now here you are. So
there you go.
Glad you ended up in Lexington. Talk about your background. You were involved in e-commerce prior to Clean Space. So just talk about what you were doing in the e-commerce space and kind of how that's, you know, helped you as you guys have started this business.
Okay. It started out as a drop shipping store. I got into all of that, the whole drop shipping frenzy. Later flipped it into a better, like more legitimate brand, going through manufacturing and everything like that. What really got me into that was coming out of, we used to own a dance studio and if anybody knows what a dance studio is like to run, it's incredibly hard and not lucrative at all. that got shut down. I'm like, okay. I also had a shot. My biggest client for my website development agency was at that same time. So I was like, okay, well, I have a lot of free time. Let me get into e-commerce and start learning more about that so I could leverage my website building expertise in with that. And the only aspect I lacked was learning how to market. And once I got that down, that's where everything took off. So
you had to go from there. And then you guys ended up meeting in a bathroom in a church was the story that you guys kind of told.
That's right.
So just talk about kind of meeting each other and why you decided, okay, hey, let's build a business together.
I'm pretty extroverted. So if I haven't seen you before and, you know, like an event like that, I was just in the church and I was like, it was a pretty small community. So yeah, I was like, hey, I don't know this guy. So just introduced myself and just happened to be, we were washing hands. Like this works good time as any. So I'm like, hey, what's going on? I think you're a little surprised me talking to somebody there, but we got coffee.
I was trying to be on the down low.
You're trying to like sneak in.
I was
sneak
wearing
out.
My trench coat.
Yeah. That's
had
true.
My, you had were, my beard to here.
Yeah. He was trying to hide out.
Had my long hair.
Just like, who's this guy? So yeah, we ended up getting coffee. I think a few days later. Somewhere other than the church bathroom, we graduated from that.
Yeah, good to hear that.
Yeah.
And then, all right, so let's get into Clean Space now. So let's just start off by talking, you know, where did the idea to start Clean Space come from, and what was that original idea?
So he had talked about his background in web design and whatnot, and so I had had LexClean, my cleaning company, for a year or so at that point, and really had done everything organically, didn't have any web presence at all, and I'm like, hey, Eric, can you help me out with a website, because he has background in there. So he...
As long as he paid for the meals,
yes,
remember?
So that was the thing, I was like...
That was the compensation.
He basically did it for free. We went out to eat all the time as we were building it, and yeah, wine and dined, and so he did that for me. And it was through that process where you kind of started asking me questions like, what are some tech problems you're having? You know, different things. It's like, how are you running this company if you don't have a website? And yeah, I was like, well, it was just kind of hodgepodging a bunch of software together to make it work. So
talk about that piece real quick. So I think it's always helpful to talk about how an entrepreneur like took the first stab at their business You know, oftentimes trying to build a whole new piece of software is just very intimidating if somebody's never been in the software space. So when you say you're hodgepodging together some different software tools, talk about like what that initial MVP looked like for you.
Yeah. So in my case, what I was doing is I was using one app for my employees to track their time. I'm using QuickBooks, you know, manage invoices and all that. And I'm using something else over here for workflow. I just had all these random things because I never thought of starting out with a cleaning based software that did all of that in one roof. So that was Eric's thing. He's like, well, you know, we could just build software to put all of that in one nice system. So you're not having to do five different subscriptions that may or may not, you know, seamlessly work with each other. So that's kind of where some of the ideas started. And he's like, we could just build something because apparently the industry needs that. So it was like, yeah, cool. Let's give that a shot. You should probably talk about early on, Eric had a lot much larger vision than just that kind of SaaS piece, but that's what kind of got the conversation rolling.
Then, yeah. Eric, talk about that real quick. What did you see with this business?
Okay. Well, getting into his website, we were shortly almost finished with it. And, I was in bed thinking about his website and thinking about everything. And then suddenly it dawned on me, kind of like this download of a vision of what if there was a, an app where you could book a clean and a cleaner like with Uber or DoorDash would come and clean your home. And what if it wasn't just your whole home, but what if you could get individual spaces clean and just pay for those individual spaces?
Like a single room or a bathroom.
Single room or bathroom, or maybe you just want your kitchen done. Maybe you just want your two bathrooms done and that's it. That's all you care about. Well, is there anything out there right now that is specifically for the cleaning industry? And one of the things early on that I learned just about myself is to not, if you have an idea and you believe in it and you're like, I want to get this going, the worst thing you can do is go out and see what the competition is. Because that could be like, you instantly are just putting the brakes and like, oh, these guys are so ahead of me. I can't do this. So I didn't do that. And I just kept rolling with the visions, expanding upon it, seeing what else it could do. And so that's on top of, you know, providing a marketplace, also giving gig workers a better, more secure way of gig working that really is not available right now. Probably will be eventually though.
Sweet. And so to take all of that and kind of put it together into a concise elevator pitch, like when you tell somebody what you all are building, what's your, you know, few lines that you use to explain CleanSpace?
Yeah. So just like quick timeline idea. So when we got launched, we did kind of decide to stick squarely in the SaaS space. So we were going to build a management tool essentially, and we weren't doing the marketplace. So when we launched, we did a lot of it was basically all, cold calling to companies just across the US. We had this huge list and we're just going through and trying to sell this thing organically. And it was pretty surprising how many companies of the small to even mid-sized stage didn't have good software, maybe weren't using anything at all. And very similar to myself, right? Just like no good solutions. A couple of companies that were out there that they may have heard of, maybe not. So a lot of need, but there was almost no interest. They're just like, yeah, you know, we're kind of, things are working. This is fine. We're just going to keep doing this. But they all asked us, can I get new cleans from this platform? Like, that's the only thing I care about. I don't care what it manages for me. It's like, can you send me new business? And we're like, well, you know, that's down the road, blah, blah, blah. And then that's when eventually we're like, hey, we just need to just transition to that marketplace model and do that. So coming back to your like elevator pitch, the whole idea is we want people to feel like they can get their time back from having to clean as much as we all do by being able to book something on demand and having that done quickly. So in the same way you look at Uber, you know, if you could imagine even here in Lexington, this isn't a huge city, but if we didn't have any access to Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, how odd that would feel because we're so used to that, right? It's like, man, if I need to go somewhere, I can book a ride, I can get a meal just instantly. We assume, and I think this is a pretty good assumption, that in 20 so years, cleaning will be the same way. Like there's obviously going to be an on-demand solution. Like we're going on-demand solutions across every sector of our lives is going to happen eventually. So it's not that it's impossible or that it's not going to happen. It's just a matter of timing and who can capture most of the market as quickly.
Yeah, getting that critical mass, especially on something like a marketplace where right. you have all the parties that, you know, create the marketplace, essentially. But before we get too far into that, something that you said that I think would be good to dig into is cold calling and doing that early customer discovery. So I think first question, had you ever cold called before doing anything?
Oh, yeah. So I grew up the second half of childhood on a small college campus where my dad was a professor, and they would do fundraising every year, phone-a-thons, you know. And as like a 13-year-old kid, I was asking the president, I was like, hey, can I, you know, do these calls? It was all like student-led. He's like, Aaron, he's like, the problem is, you know, we're happy to have you do that, but you're a kid and you sound like a kid on the phone.
It might help.
And he's like, so it's just not, you know, you're gonna have to wait a little. So like as soon as I turned 16 or something, I was like just enough to where I could like qualify as maybe being a student. So yeah, I've been in that kind of space, and I've never had a problem getting on the phone or doing that. I did some, not door-to-door sales, but I've done some like related sales, direct sales, and I canvassed politically a couple of times and knocked on doors. So it's just, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm happy to do
you've
that.
You've got the personality for it. Like you just seem at ease when talking to people, which is, that's such an underrated skill for entrepreneurs, is being able to go and clearly communicate what they're trying to, you know, quote unquote sell. But in reality, in the early days of a business, you're just trying to get feedback.
Yep.
You're just trying to understand, where is your pain? What kind of solution do you have currently, or do you have available currently?
Right.
And how can we improve that for you? So talk about how that kind of flowed into, well, I guess you already have, how that flowed into making the marketplace. I mean, the whole idea for that essentially pivot came from talking to your customers and discovering that need from them. So I won't make you go into that.
No, you're good. Yeah.
Since you already kind of discussed that, but talk to kind of the next stage of the business, fundraising. So you had spoken with some initial investors when you were kind of doing the services SaaS side of things. Now you're doing this more marketplace side. What's your experience been like trying to find capital to finance the business?
Yeah. So early on, the friends and family round was a small round we raised with essentially local angel investors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of them were local, but all in the angel category, right? So
yeah. It was interesting starting out.
Yeah.
Then we learned how good you are.
Pitching. Yeah. Well, I don't know how good I am at pitching, but I do enjoy it. It's cool because neither Eric nor myself have any experience in fundraising, right? So he's been in the tech realm for a lot longer than I have, obviously, but neither of us had ever gone out and like, or I guess you might have had one experience,
yeah.
right? Yeah. I forgot.
In Charlotte.
Talk about that real quick. What was your previous experience?
So one of my first projects back in 2010, and it was a filtering audio and video based off of prompts in real time on a streaming platform. It was my project. Learned a lot of lessons from that one, but part of that, I wanted to get some I needed to raise some funds, and I had already exhausted what I had already had, which was friends and family. And so I went to LinkedIn and hit up some of these investment groups, like they get together, and very actually similar to what is in Louisville, actually, with
what is that?
Render. Yeah. Very similar to that. So I got a pitch deck together and everything. And, it was five of us, and we went and I pitched in front of probably 30 people or something like that. They seemed very interested, but I was very, very young. I was 16. And
oh, wow. That is very, very young.
Yeah, I was 16, and I looked like I was 14 or 12.
Like, who is this guy?
That's great. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the process and journey of building this business so far. So, you know, there's always ups and downs when it comes to building a business. Let's start off, let's talk about some of the challenges that you guys have encountered building this company so far. Are there any that come to mind that you think the audience would be able to learn something from how you guys have overcome it?
So it's funny, anytime this comes up to me, I think Eric's probably the same way. We think about this whole like journey and the pivot that we've made to this point. And it's such a funny thing because early on when we're like in the, when Eric is building the product and we're still, we haven't sold it. Like we're still really, really in the development stage. I heard from people that are further along, like, you know, just always be ready to accept that you may need to pivot. Right. And I always thought, man, that just seems like such a juvenile thing. Like if you need to pivot, you just didn't know what you were doing. Right?
Yeah.
And it always rubbed me the wrong way. It was kind of like, we're not gonna have to pivot, you know, like what the heck? And so there's this idea of like, for me, it was kind of like probably just a pride thing. It's like, man, we're really good at this. Like, you know, heck, we're not going to pivot. And then sure enough, it's like, well, here we're pivoting. And so it on one side, it is actually, even to some of the investors we spoke to, it's like, no, it's somewhat of a good side, depending. I mean, if you got a lot of traction and you pivot away from it, that's probably not a good move. But if you've pivoted at least once or twice, that means you've identified your market a little bit better and your product market fit has matured, right? You're understanding where that is as you go along. And so kind of adopting, for me personally, getting that view and being like, okay, this is a maturing step in the right direction. It's still frustrating. It's kind of annoying, but you know, it's got its pluses.
I think the way that for me, we were a year after I'm officially, or not really officially, but starting to bring on beta, or open to bringing on beta users. A year in, I know we've done a lot of calling and we've done a lot of different, we weren't able to raise enough to test any advertising like pay-per-click or social or anything like that. So that's a little bit of if we could have tested that, maybe the pivot would have not happened. I don't know.
That's true. No.
But it kind of goes back to the original idea of the marketplace and how the SaaS part of it was secondary and it wasn't supposed to be the main thing. That wasn't part of my original vision for it. But we learned a lot from it. But I think the biggest thing is just looking back and being like, okay, really, do we want to do another year of this, or should we just go for the original idea that we already have created and put this on the, you know, sideline for right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I know, especially with pivoting, it can kind of feel like waste of time in the beginning.
Definitely.
But just like, you know, anything else in life where it didn't work out exactly how you wanted it to, or exactly how you envisioned it to, you learned along that whole process.
Which something is good. Is a big, and it's data.
And there, data. There's exactly. Another like side of that too, that I look at, and I can go back and see different points in that first year where it's like, man, if this had gone differently, if we had traction here, if we had done this and we'd gotten a response here, kind of some of the things that might have happened, I still think it would have been at a much, much smaller scale than the market that we're looking at now. So sometimes you'll look back,
definitely
you'll
true.
Look back at those things, you'll be like, well, like, man, I just wish this had taken off here. And in hindsight, it's like, actually, that would have been very constraining, like overall. What we're going into now and what we're launching, and, you know, even the fund that we're raising and who we're reaching out to, it's much, much, much larger. Like, the whole scope has opened up considerably. And, you know, sometimes in the moment, you don't even realize how beneficial it is that you're not getting something to take off, because you don't know, like, how short of a run you've got, you know, if that works. Whereas once you pivot, it's like, hey, this is a much better market. This is a much better potential fit in all these different ways, but it's hard to see that until you can look back and like, yeah, I'm glad in some way that didn't work out, but
yeah, absolutely. Talk about the successes that you guys have experienced so far. Anything that comes to mind that you guys are proud of?
Well, you mentioned Fiverr Cross early on. That was the first time I'd ever pitched on a kind of more of a public situation. So we had done investor pitches up to that point, obviously, and I was starting to really enjoy that aspect. When we got to Fiverr Cross, that went well, and I realized that's a skill set for me. I can spend a lot of time. I enjoy refining that and getting really good there. So that was an easy personal thing that helped me realize I've got something here and I can kind of lean into that.
I love that. And we'll talk more about Fiverr Cross, because I think you got a good story with like going full circle with Fiverr Cross and Awesome Inc. But last kind of question about CleanSpace and the business. What is your all's vision for the next 3 to 5 years? Let's say we don't have to talk super far out, but where would you like to see this business get to in the near future?
Well, in 3 to 5 years, we should be 2 years away from an IPO.
That's right? True.
That's the that's
we're
the,
going public, baby.
So we have a 6 to 7 year range, and that's kind of the idea. Yeah.
So that's the that's what how you all would prefer to exit, is build all the way up to an IPO.
That would be ideal.
Yeah. The numbers are always, you know, it's like an IPO or a really large acquisition when we still maintain good equity. Sure. But, you know.
Yeah. The way I see it is I mean, I think the way that I would answer that question would be once we raise enough to where we can actually start doing any form of online marketing, that's when the scaling actually happens. Because I've personally seen how fast doubling down on your marketing can go and how you can scale 100 times within a week if you can double down. Yeah. And the cool thing about this is with software is you don't have to worry about the whole unit's manufacturing side of it.
Yeah. That's why SaaS models are so beautiful. 100% margins once you code the software for the first time. All right, cool. Let's transition to talking about the Lexington startup ecosystem. So I think the best way to start this is, I want to talk about you guys getting involved in it for the first time, because we always want to, we're going to make the ecosystem as accessible to anybody that wants to be part of it as possible. So you mentioned Five Across. Tell the story of you attended Five Across before you won Five Across. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of your first exposure to Awesome Inc. Talk about, why you decided to come to Five Across in the first place and what it was like getting involved in the Lexington startup ecosystem.
Yeah. So Chase Banker, Chase has been a big sponsor of Five Across for quite a while. I met with him for coffee, I don't even know, a couple of years back now.
Edward?
Yeah, Edward. Yeah,
we'll give him a shout out.
Yeah. Great guy. We sat down and he's like, hey, there's this event coming up next month where they have like a mini Shark Tank. And he gave me a spiel. I'm like, sounds great. So I went to that and I was like, well, this is a lot of fun. That first event was the one that Minigrip won first place at.
I was there for that one.
So
yeah, I remember that.
That was a great event. And I was like, this is really cool. And I just started attending pretty regularly from that. That was my first introduction to Awesome in general, right? So I had never been to the space or anything previous to that. So yeah, I was started there. And then over the preceding year is when Clean Space kind of got started. So I'm going to Five Across events. I'm kind of getting introduced to the Awesome Inc. community. Then we are working on Clean Space and getting that launched. And they're like, okay, hey, you guys need to pitch this at some point. So we did. I ended up going to the Awesome Inc. retreat last year. And I was just kind of like one thing after another, and I'm hanging around more and more. And then it was like looking for office space. We're moving my cleaning company. And Connor's like, oh, well, we rent offices out of, the space. So went over there. We got an office space. And it was just, I was just kind of started checking off all the boxes. They're just kind of walking me through. And then we launched with the fellowship in the spring cohort last month. So, yeah, we've pretty much done a good little circle.
A little tour of Awesome Inc. I love that. Awesome Inc. just does such a fantastic job of cultivating that community.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned the retreat. The retreats are so much fun.
For sure.
We should complete that circle and get into the Awesome Inc. fun.
That's true. That's the only box I can think of that hasn't, like Clean Space hasn't done this yet.
Yeah, so yeah. That would be such a great story for the Lexington startup ecosystem if you guys kind of came in via Five Across, got to see how all of that worked, and then made your way all the way to having an investment by Awesome Inc. But yeah, I was very much Awesome Inc. is responsible for me being in the startup ecosystem.
Okay.
When I was in college, Brian Rainey was actually a professor of one of the classes that I was in for it's called a living learning program for entrepreneurship.
Wow.
And he invited me to the Entrepreneur Hall of Fame. And
okay.
I was, and a friend were the only students that showed up out of the whole class.
What year was that?
Shoot, that would have been 2015.
Okay.
I believe so. It was a while back.
Yeah.
And then Brian and I became really close. He kind of became a mentor to me. I became his personal assistant
for a
long time.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up meeting everyone in the startup ecosystem and being here today.
That's so cool.
So yeah, I always love giving Awesome Inc. their flowers whenever it
for
comes
sure.
up in conversation.
For sure.
All right, let's talk a little bit about how being involved in the startup ecosystem has really benefited you guys as you've built this company. So on the call, you mentioned one of the things that you like about the ecosystem is just the closeness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of talk about, how you guys have benefited from the ecosystem itself.
So for me personally, I'm an extrovert, right? So I like to be around people. I like to spend time hanging out, and having any business endeavor can be pretty polarizing in terms of like you're not necessarily sharing this with a lot of people all the time. And it was just cool. I didn't have a community when I launched a cleaning company, right? We're all like, jumping around and getting excited. It was just like my thing, So getting in the software space and having a community that is actually oriented around helping you succeed, getting you connected with people in all these different realms.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah, it meant a lot to me. Like technically, obviously, I have no experience here. This is all Eric's background on the software side. But the community side and building those relationships was something in this, in that particular genre of business that I had never experienced previously, right? It was always just a solo, like, this is me putting my head down, getting to work. So I just enjoy that community aspect of it in a lot of ways.
If you could change anything about the startup ecosystem, what would it be? Just feedback in general for, you know, we always talk, we used to phrase it as like, what are some strengths and weaknesses of the startup ecosystem? Just as we try to kind of crowdsource feedback, how can we all improve together? Anything come to mind when you think of that?
Maybe a bi-weekly whiskey or beer get together.
Oh yes,
would be good to have.
Stevens at our fellowship.
Yeah.
Yesterday was talking about how in Louisville they have a monthly meetup, and I've been to one like 2 years ago. But yeah, like a monthly
meetup.
That would
be cool.
Where it's just like all the founders come and hang out.
It's relaxing.
Yeah, just an open deal.
People can talk and share things.
And yeah, a couple of, I think somebody from, I think it was Apollo, right? They're like, do we have that here in Lexington? So we were supposed to kind of finalize doing that. I'm glad you brought that up. So yeah, that's what we need to do.
We've talked about that a lot with Middle Tech because we've started getting into events. It's been kind of like a next iteration of everything that we do with our company. And I think I agree with you. I think a good kind of a gap in the startup ecosystem in terms of events is these very unstructured, laid back. We don't have programming really. It's like, just come and have a beer, meet people, hang out. So the few events that we've done, we've made it to where it's like, we pick up the bar tab. There's like, you know, we typically have done a panel with it, but we have like an hour beforehand where it's like, come and hang out, drink a beer, meet people.
I think if we had an unstructured event where it's like, this is just an expected thing from this hour to this hour every week or whatever. And then every month or so you throw a panel on there, do something a little bit more structured. That's cool. But that's something we could definitely do here.
Good feedback. It's good feedback for sure. All right. Well, let's get into some advice just for people that are, you know, we're in your shoes, just, you know, 4 years ago when you were setting out to start a business. How about the first thing, what would your advice be to somebody who doesn't have any experience in entrepreneurship, but wants to take that first step? This could be anything from, hey, I read this book and it really helped me. This was the mindset that I had going into it. Any advice that comes to mind?
I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. I'm trying to think what was the most impactful
thing.
Like
what made you do the dive?
Yeah. I've never had really an issue getting activated and just going and doing something, but I think that does seem to be a problem for a lot of people. Is they'll like build an idea out, they'll do all this stuff.
Want to be an entrepreneur.
Do all this and they just don't execute. They just don't go out and pick up the phone.
Or they look at the competitors.
Yeah, like they get freaked out. And so David Johnston is a good friend of mine. I don't know if you've met him, but he's...
I know the name.
Yeah, really, really cool dude. Very successful. I just remember him telling me, he's like, ages ago, even before I got into software, he's like, you just have to act. You just have to go do it. Like, don't piddle around, just like execute. And if the whole thing's a wash, like the sooner you can find it out, it's better than waiting a year to move. And then it's like, then it's no good. So that seems to be, again, wasn't a personal struggle that I've had, but I've seen a lot of people that get stuck. They're just like, they do all the prep work and they won't just execute. So get moving, you know, as quickly as you can.
Yeah, you don't really need a business plan.
Yeah, business plans are good, but I think it's great if you can have someone who can help you develop that while you're trying to execute. So you get someone a little bit more qualified that can look at all those pieces. We've been helped by every situation that we've been in developing the company where we've had somebody more qualified than us in a particular area that can help design that. So we don't have to do everything, right? Eric and I both have independent things that we're really good at, and it's better for us to focus on that and get outside help or have an advisor that can do something, whether it's on the investing side or valuation or all these other pieces that we don't have a lot of high level experience with, right? So you find connections, find people that will mentor you in all those pieces that are willing to walk you through that so that that's still good. It's still operating right. And it's not, you know, just a piece of crap on some paper, but you're still doubling down on what you know you can execute on well.
Yeah, I think the big thing there is something I always talk about a lot is when you have an idea, like the best thing that you can do is figure out how to translate that idea from something that's just in your head to like something in the real world.
Sure.
Because mm-hmm. it's where learning actually happens. Yep. You're not going to really learn much when you're just thinking about an idea, or like writing down on paper is kind of like a smaller step, but like actually making something happen in the real world, there's really just no replacement for that.
Well, also sometimes when you have experience that you can lean back on, development experience, for example, and you have a program you want to make, you can lean on that and come up with a timeline, which goes back to the business plan, because it's really hard to make a business plan if you don't have all the aspects of the experience side to make that business plan. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to learn all that first.
Right. Yeah. Right. All right. Another piece of advice here. Somebody that wants to get involved in the startup ecosystem, what would you tell them? And this can be Lexington startup ecosystem, and let's actually do both. Lexington startup ecosystem, broader, anywhere you are, startup ecosystem. I'm sure most mid-sized cities have something going on.
Well, for me personally, I love to introduce people as much as I can. So any connection that I have that I think would be valuable. So if you're in Lexington, yeah, I want you to get connected to everybody that I know through Awesome and outside of that I think can provide value, because they've provided a lot of value to us. So that would be just easy. Like, just look for the connections, try to find as many introductions as possible. If you're outside of Lexington, like you said, there should be some.
There's LinkedIn groups.
That's how I found
mine. There's lots of them, actually. You just have to search it.
Try to get as connected as possible, as quickly as possible. And again, leverage those relationships to, you know, work with the people that you've developed in your network so that you can create a good cohesive relationship. And that way you will just won't have to do everything 100% by yourself.
Love that. All right. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on and talking about CleanSpace and your all's experience building this company here. Excited to see what you guys continue to build over the next few years. I hope you get to that IPO.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. That'd be a big celebration here here in Lexington. I'll tell you that much.
Sure.
But yeah, thanks so much for coming on. Before we let you guys go, if somebody wants to learn more about either both of you individually or CleanSpace, any sort of social media handles, websites, go ahead and make those plugs here at the end.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we'll have all of our CleanSpace stuff here. Personally, if you look me up on LinkedIn, Aram Street, that's going to be the easiest way to connect with me. And I'm very, very responsive there. I'd love to sit down. So that'd be the easiest way
Same.
To find me.
I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, yeah.
Yep.
Eric Griffin.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks again.
Logan, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.